Let's start our time together in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word is rich and it's deep and it's alive. And you have applied it to our lives this morning already and continue to apply it to us. And we pray that you would make us receptive and responsive to your word. That by faith in Jesus Christ that you have granted us, that you would make us more and more alive and be building us up into Christ and into his church together. And we ask that you will bless our time this morning now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, come on in and sit down. We're getting started this week on a study that will take us through to the summer break. We are using as a basis for the study the book Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. Respectable Sins, Confronting the Sins We Tolerate. We are using the book as a guide and a basis for our thinking. Let me tell you a little bit about how we got here. A little more than a year ago, we were looking, we were getting ready for the Ironman retreat. And through the conversations of the committee, the Lord brought this book to our attention. And we had Dave Long come and speak at the Ironman retreat. Elder Zamovin and I, as Ironman partners, started to work through the book. And it burdened us. Week by week, we were getting what we've referred to as we were getting beaten up by Bridges, who was drawing attention to things that were very pertinent to our lives. And as I always teach, when I sometimes have taught the high school, church school class, I say, look, if I'm burdened by something in Scripture, I want you to share that burden with me. And when you read a verse like, anything that is not done in faith is sin, that's not something to keep to yourself. That's something you got to share with other Christians. You don't want to have to live with that burden all by yourself. And so Bridges raises a number of points and issues right from the Scriptures that have been very helpful for Bernie and I to be contending with and struggling with and praying about. And so as the session was talking about where we wanted to go, we always want to be biblically based in what we're teaching, and we just have been through a study of St. Augustine's Confessions, and our brains hurt quite badly on a number of occasions about things that are somewhat, some very practical, but some difficult to search out. And we thought we wanted to do something that would be very attentive to the Scripture's call to us to living out the Christian life. And we thought that Bridges would help us to do that. But we are not going to be doing a study of Bridges' book. One of the most deadly things that I've ever experienced in the church is to have a bunch of people sit around, a bunch of adults saying, I don't agree with Bridges about this. I don't think Bridges is quite right about that. Do you think he interpreted this exactly right about? No. Bridges drives us into the Scriptures, and that's what we're going to be doing together. So if you didn't happen to get a chance to read the chapter, you're not unprepared for class if you bring your Bible and you bring your heart commitment to faith in Jesus Christ and a desire to grow in Him, and are willing to work with us on that. Because what we want to do is not critique and analyze whether Bridges is right or wrong, or whether we agree or disagree with Bridges on this point or that, but we want to assess, we want to see where he's pushing us into the Scriptures and then go deeper into those areas in the weeks that we're studying that particular part. So today I've been assigned with helping us through the first six chapters of the book. We're going to lay a groundwork today, and then we'll begin next week. If you have the book and want to do the reading for next week, we're going to be doing chapter 7 on godliness. That's a chapter that has guided my prayer life and I think Bernie's and mine together over a number of months now. So that's a little teaser for next week. I'd like us to think about this question for a minute and talk with folks nearby you about this question. If we start with the scripture, not popular mindset, not theologies of other denominations or cults or sects, if we start with the scripture, how would we explain where and how sin is involved in the lives of the saints? If we start with scripture, and there are many different places you can start, so we're not looking for one particular answer here, but if you start with the scripture, how would we explain where and how sin is involved in the lives of the saints? Where, how, why is sin involved in the lives of saints? I'm going to give you 4 or 5 minutes to talk about this. Think about where in the scripture we might get descriptions, explanations, scriptural principles that help us to understand how sin is involved in the lives of the saints. Okay? Take some time to think about that together. Okay, now I don't expect you've solved all the problems yet, but I'd like to hear what are some of the different points at which you've started and thought about this question of how we would explain where and how sin is involved in the lives of the saints. What are some thoughts that you had on that question?
Paul really deals with that extensively in Romans 6 and 7.
Okay.
Key passages.
Okay, and we're going to be looking specifically at part of Romans 6 in just a minute or two. So Romans 6 and 7, we have a lot of input there about the fact that there that sin is something that's a problem and an issue in the lives of saints, not just unbelievers. Jeff or Sawyer?
1 John chapters 1 and 2 seem to indicate that sin does continue to be a part of the saint's life and therefore has to be confessed. It has to be dealt with, and if we say it doesn't, then we lie.
Good, good. Another passage that we're going to deal with. This is one of the reasons why it's relatively easy to teach church school at Grace Reformed Presbyterian Church, is that you're really not needed in a lot of ways. You raise a question and there are people. And that's one of the reasons why we raise questions in this congregation, is because you really can get a lot of value from the saints in terms of what's going on. What are some other touch points and things that came to mind, Kenny? Okay. That's kind of a subtitle for the books of Corinthians 1 and 2 could be saints behaving badly, right? And Bridges starts out with that, by the way. He said, look, the church in Corinth is addressed in the scripture to the saints, not to some of the saints. Not to some of the saints, not to a few of you who are saints and the rest of you who are struggling for that, but to the people who are set apart ones, right? The people who have been set apart by Christ for Christ, and who are the sanctified ones, the ones who are sanctified and being sanctified. A couple more, yes.
I just think the Old Testament, I guess, and the New, when the Lord gives us stories about people that are clearly believers, but they struggle with sin, and you can see the results of whether there's repentance, and you know, just kind of how that works out, and you know, people like David come to mind that you know messed up a number of times, and yet the Lord loved him, and he loved the Lord, and you can see how that played out.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so one of the ways we could go at this question, we'll come to you in just a second. One of the ways we could go at this question is we could just put a list of people who are exemplary believers in Scripture who we would like to emulate in many points. And then we could have a second column that says, what sins were they battling in their lives after they had come to a clear place of love for Christ and for His Word and for His people. So Moses, in my Bible reading this week, Moses struck the rock. Okay? And it's long after he was called. This is after crossing. It's after he stood up to power, to earthly power, to Pharaoh, after all these great things that the Lord did for him, through him redemptively for his people, and then he strikes the rock. So, Michelle.
I guess a bunch of things are coming together in my mind. And the first thing a couple of us said was all of sin, and how powerful the word all is in that verse.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm thinking kind of in conjunction with it's absolutely personal responsibility and personal repentance and all of that, but the role that accountability mm-hmm. as a group and as a church needs to play in that. And I think of, as at the end of Philippians, where this letter that's public, that the whole church and many churches read, Paul calls out two women and says, get along! And encourages the saints to help them in that struggle, and that sometimes we try to, and we're reading the book perspective, but we try to kind of cover up the struggles that we have, and it makes it harder for other people who see, you know, we look at some people, oh, you never have problems, you never have struggles in your life. Well, I think that's a lot because we keep things so covered up. And we need to ask for help when we're struggling with sin. And we don't reach out to people we see struggling with sin and say, hey, I have that same struggle. Can we struggle together? Or I've had that struggle. Can I help you by telling you how I was able to overcome it?
Right. One of the things that we want to be really attentive to is that the that in our dealing with sin, in fact, at least in this congregation, I know that there are a lot of people who are deliberately battling against sin and are talking to people. But I remember once when I was, shortly after I got out of college, I went and I was at a conference or something, heard people, and kind of the idea was being promoted that you ought to have part, in some part of your regular worship and service, you ought to have people coming forward and sort of testifying about all their sins. While a particular person may be led by the Lord or called upon to do that under certain circumstances, I can tell you that the session of this congregation is not looking to begin a pattern like that. That there's a lot in Scripture about the wisdom of owning our sins and confessing our sins, and in some cases doing that publicly, but doing that with careful discretion, so that what happens is the person who's battling against sin is encouraged. and can deal with those things in an appropriate way. The idea, though, and one of the reasons we're doing this study is precisely what Michelle is talking about, is there is not a person there's not a person in Scripture other than Christ who didn't in this life have to deal with sin. And there is not a person in this church, not a person, who last week and in the week to come will not have to deal with some of these issues and are dealing with them. And being able to say together, without being real specific in this kind of context, we're battling together, is an important thing for us to be able to do as a congregation. Please turn to Romans 6 with me. One of Bridges' points is that part of the message of the Scriptures is we are saints, or you are saints, now start acting like it. You're a saint, now start acting like it. And you heard Pastor Jeff preach on this. If you're with us, if you've been with us long enough, the idea of becoming what we already are in Christ is another way to say that. And that was from Ephesians, right? Becoming what we already are in Christ, putting off the old, putting on the new, that's a temporal, spiritual, but very practical process that all believers have to deal with. I want us to look at Romans 6, and I'd like for someone to read, who will read 5 to 11 for us? Pastor Jeff, 5 to 11, and then 12 to 14. Somebody read 12 to 14. Thanks, Lord. Okay, let's read the scripture together. Go ahead, Pastor Jeff.
For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if you have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey it in its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Okay. Now, I want to point out, there's a ton here. Okay, and Amy and I have been privileged to hear this passage preached at a number of different places that we've been in our lives, and at this stage we just went over the amount of scripture that when many preachers would spend 3 to 4 weeks on that passage. There's an awful lot there. It's very rich and deep. What I want us to see today in particular is that because sin and death have no dominion over Christ, because Christ has conquered sin and death, and because and alone because Christ has conquered sin and death, therefore the scripture can call us to not have let sin have dominion over us. In other words, we have no strength in and of ourselves to battle sin on sin's terms by ourselves. But in Christ, as Christ's sanctified ones, set apart by Christ, we can answer Scripture's call not to let sin have dominion over us. We can answer that call. But it's a call in this life to battle. It's a call to battle against sin. In the new heaven and the new earth, when we're raised from the dead and glorified in Christ, that battle for us will be over. And Christ has assured the victory, so the war's over. We've talked about this before. The war's over, in effect, but we're engaged in what Bridges refers to, and I think it's a good metaphor. We're engaged in a constant guerrilla war as set apart ones, as sanctified ones. So there are skirmishes every week. The certainty of our position in Christ is not challenged. Our assurance in Christ is accomplished by Christ, but the battle rages on day to day with that assurance that we know we can have dominion. The scripture calls us not to let sin have dominion over us, and we can have that because of Christ. So we need to think about the fact that we're still in this context where we're battling sin. When you think about a passage like Philippians 2, 12 to 16, which Pastor Jeff is right now preaching, has recently preached through this in the evening, that we're called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because it's God who works in us. That God is working in us, and that God is calling us and bringing us and giving us the power to engage in this, in the hard work. And so what we want to do now is take a few minutes to look and try to discern from Scripture what are some of the scriptural starting points for I'm not trying to do alliteration, but Bridges is helping me. Scriptural starting points for the subtle sins of the saints. So
three times.
That three times, that three times. Okay. The idea here is that if we look at Hebrews, everybody turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Very familiar passage. This is another way that the Scripture calls us, another place that the Scripture calls us to battle against sin and to set it aside and to work away from it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You've been hearing from the pulpit, fix your eyes on Jesus. This is where this comes from, right? Looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes and our thoughts and our hearts and our minds and our persons on Jesus. And that's associated with throwing off sin, which is close to us and so easily entangles us. Okay? So, need to have something to write with and something to write on. I'm going to have you spend a few minutes in your groups looking at some classic lists. I want you to look at the lists and try to identify what in the lists constitutes, in particular, subtle sins of the saints. Subtle sins of the saints. Here's the list. Here's the list, if you have something to write with and something to write on. Galatians 5, 19 to 24. Galatians 5, 19 to 24. Ephesians 4:25 to 5:5. Ephesians 4:25 to 5:5. Colossians 3:5 to 15. Colossians 3:5 to 15. 1 Timothy 6:3 to 10. 1 Timothy 6:3 to 10. And 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. And what I'd like you to do is read these passages in your groups out loud together and listen. Listen for the sins that are identified and the categories of sins. And try to identify at least five from the common grouping, at least five that would qualify in your group's mind as subtle sins of the saints. Subtle sins of the saints. Okay? I'll give you a few minutes to work on that. Go to work. Okay, we're going to talk about this for a minute. As we do, I want us to think about it this way. We're trying to discern. Believers, the Scripture does not teach us that believers are not susceptible, that there are certain sins believers can't commit. Scripture doesn't say that. And I don't want to give that impression at all. I don't want us to think that we can, because it would just be a form of spiritual pride for us to say, oh, I could never commit murder. I can say, given where I am right now, I don't ever want to commit murder. And I can say, I don't have a pattern of actually murdering people, but then I read the Sermon on the Mount and I'm busted, right?
Amen.
But on the other hand, if we are being sanctified by the Lord, we can look at what are the kinds of sins that we are likely to have to battle. If you've ever been to the Reformed Presbyterian home and you've talked to folks who have been faithful for a lifetime and they're in the RP home and they're not settled about this. They are understanding dealing with sins. Like one of the ones that we're going to get beat up on later is discontentment. You can have a whole lot of things under control in terms of your outward appearance and just be battling discontentment deep inside. in. I don't want to think I'm the only one that has to battle that. So if none of the rest of you are dealing with that right now, you know, don't tell me. Okay. But what are some of the things that you identified on these lists that seem to be pretty constant, subtle, they're subtle sins of the saints? What were some of the ones that you identified? Let's start in the back corner where I saw someone pulling out cards with the Westminster Shorter Catechism on it, nonetheless. Okay, so get there, and all pointing the finger at Roy, not to mention any names. So what was one that you guys identified from our list?
On the Shorter Catechism, since you brought that up, we were saying not only do we have to maintain the truth, but we have to promote the truth, and not only to that, but the integrity of other people. So even though we may think that we're doing right, and but even when we say a little bit something, or technically is there is gossip, but we might not consider it that way, so it suddenly creeps in.
Okay.
Everyone falls on that.
Okay, so gossip might be one of those subtle sins of the saints. I have a little set piece on gossip, so I'll visit it on you momentarily. One of the worst forms of gossip is telling the truth about someone that shouldn't be said to someone else.
Kevin, we might add to that also that if there's something good about someone that we need to say,
we ought to say.
We ought to say.
We ought to say. Right. That's anti-gossip, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Somewhere else. What's another one? What, you guys had kind of an amoeba-like group over here. What was one that came up in your group, a subtle sin of the saints from these lists?
Envy came up on a number of the lists.
Okay. Envy. Good. Another one. How about over here?
We talked about things that come out of your mouth. This is kind of a two-sided one. Not even necessarily bad things like lies and gossip, but just unseasoned speech. Like trying to say something nice and saying it badly.
Okay.
Or not saying it the way that you should.
Okay.
And the other side of that is how a person receives things that are said and harboring malice and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And what our responsibilities are on both sides of that coin.
Yeah, there's a verse that comes to mind about idle talk. Those broad sweeping verses are always hard to manage, right? As a saint trying to be sanctified. No idle talk. Oh, no.
Silly speech.
Okay.
And coarse speech, like just in joking.
Right.
Not even if you don't hurt somebody's feelings, like sometimes there's just no reason to say something that's coarse or crass.
Right.
It's not necessary. It shouldn't be funny. Even if some people think it is, it shouldn't be, and you shouldn't promote it.
Right. And the other side of the coin sin, which is to live a graceless, joyless, cheerless life. You know, these are not easy things, right? There are things that are so wrong that bring laughter. There are some things that are so wrong and that sometimes bring nervous laughter, right? People laugh because they don't know what else to do. And so there's that side of it, but there's also the side that says, if our demeanor is cheerless, there are verses in the Proverbs that just slam us on that too. We're not, you know, so the idea of what does it mean to live in grace and charity in a manner of conduct? I mean, that's part of what we're grappling with here. How does the Lord work on our hearts to align our hearts so much with Him that we exude the kind of combination of grace and righteousness that Christ walked and that Christ calls us to and that Christ can deliver to us? This is the challenge, right? This is the challenge of you're a saint. And now you need to start to learn to act like it, and you need to work on that from the inside and from the inside out. So coarse jesting is one of the clear things that we're talking about. Idle talk, some things like that. Another area.
Bitterness.
Pardon me?
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
Especially when we want to be righteously indignant.
Okay.
We feel justified in being bitter.
Right. Okay? So we've got this whole host of bitterness, resentment, righteous indignation that may not have ever been righteous or might have been at a certain point, but the sun went down on it, and now we're holding on to it. There's a whole host of things that very ordinary, respectable Christian folk can engage in. There's a longer list, and you have a longer list on your papers, I'm sure. I think the point here is these are the things we're going to grapple with. These are the kinds of issues that we really need to lean into and work at head on. And Bridges is going to raise the topics for us, and we're going to go into the scriptures, and different people will be leading. You're stuck with me for a couple more weeks, but different people will be leading and guiding us through different ones of these. I want to close our time with just a couple of thoughts for you to think about. What we really want to consider is what kinds of sin am I living with? What kinds of sins have I made peace with in myself? What are the sins that I tolerate in myself? And what are the sins that church people tolerate in themselves and in others? What are we willing to live with that Christ is unwilling for us to live with? And of course, the simple, appropriate church school answer, which we can give, is all sin is reprehensible to God. So we can't live or make peace with any of it. I can't say, look, this is the kind of person I am. And this is the way, okay? If I were not saying this exemplary, it'd be wicked, okay? I can't say, this is the way that the Lord made me. And therefore, I get a pass. Can't do that. So we need to work together. And I want to just review a couple of things that Bridges suggests. This is kind of a battle plan. It's not the only plan. It's not the only good plan. It's a good way for us to start to think. He says we need a certain number of things. We need to do what we talked about earlier today. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We have to approach sin in our lives from the perspective of the gospel, that we're sinners, that we rely only on Christ, that we must repent of our sin, and that we are forgiven for our sin and will be helped and will be and are called to battle sin. So we have to start with a repentant heart, a soft heart, a heart that is willing then to be changed. We have to want to be transformed. It's our duty to battle sin, but we also have to want to battle sin. And we have to encourage each other to want to battle sin, to have a desire to fulfill our duty as we're called by Christ to do that. We need to recognize that it's the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ that eradicates sin out of our lives and that win these battles. It's like we're alongside, but the captain of the movement is not us, it's Christ. And so Christ is working in us, and the Holy Spirit works and can work and does work to transform us according to his plan, not according to ours. We don't have to lay out all the plan, but we do have to acknowledge and call for and be committed to working with the Holy Spirit to produce good fruit in us. We need to identify the scriptures that are calling us to obedience in certain areas. So it's good for us to memorize and meditate on scriptures that are addressing sin that the Spirit identifies with us in Christ. And I especially want to encourage you in this one way. One of the ways this book has really helped me is not so much in identifying incidents of sin, but in identifying patterns of sin. And we'll deal more with that next class. I have a friend who's a golf pro. And he can help someone to fix 10 things that are incidental by helping them do one thing differently. And patterns of sin in our life, we want to identify the patterns and just battle against those things that are patterns of sin. And I can tell you that Bridges is going to help us to identify those. Some chapters you'll say, oh my word, I don't want to read this chapter because it's all me. And there will be other chapters that you read. Some of you will read them and you say, that's what I used to be, but in Christ the Lord has really helped me with this particular, you know, in this area. If you want to deal with patterns, and I want to close with Psalm 19. I want you to listen to Psalm 19, 12, 13, and 14. Because I think this is a good overall way for us to meditate and think about what direction we want to head personally and together. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. We don't want to give ourselves a pass, and we don't want to plan ever. We don't ever want to plan to sin. We don't ever want to say, it will be okay because the Lord will forgive me if I do this, and make have some kind of formula in our minds of presumptuous sin. I know it's sin, but I'm going to do it anyhow. That's so, so damaging. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would so work in our lives that we might be willing participants and active in the battle against sin and sin's dominion. We acknowledge, Lord, that there is no victory over sin in us in and of ourselves, but that by the power of our risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Spirit, you can root out sin and you can enable us to nail it to the cross. And so we pray that you would so work in our lives personally, and that you would work in our life as a body, that we might experience your grace in this battle against sin. Lord, thank you for sanctifying us. We pray that you would make us more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Chapter 7 next week. Chapter 7 next week.